Canto 3. While they were scattering in their sudden flight throughout the plain, I turned my gaze to meet the mountain, where by reason at its height we are examined. Think of the defeat I would have met without my true friend near. So near I drew, for how would I have fared? Who else would take me up that hill from here? And yet he seemed somehow not to be spared from self-reproach. Ah, pure and dignified of conscience, how a tiny fault can sting! When his feet slowed down from the hasty stride that drains the dignity from anything, my mind, till then restrained, was newly keen, and with that wider range I set my face towards the hill that from the sea is seen to rise high in the search for heaven's grace. Behind me and above, the sun flamed red. Before me, the ground shone around the shape I made when sunlight stopped at me instead. I turned to one side with my mouth agape, in fear that I had been abandoned, when I saw that only I thus turned the ground to darkness, but my comfort asked me then, "Why so distrustful? Have you not yet found that I am always with you, I, your guide? Now it is evening where my body lies, with which I cast a shadow. I abide in Naples, sent there as a treasured prize from Brindisi to mark the fond esteem of great Augustus. If no shadow now is thrown before me, may its absence seem no more a marvel to your mind than how the heavens do not block each other's rays. The force that makes our bodies fit to bear torments of heat and cold has secret ways of which we cannot hope to be aware. And he's a fool who thinks our reason can trace all the paths one substance takes in three persons, for they are infinite. Mere man, the quia, the mere fact, is bound to be what you must be content with. For if you had ever been enabled to see all, then Mary would have no need to do the thing she did and give birth. You'll recall how you have often seen men's vain desire, that their desire to see things whole, a grief eternal, should have leeway to retire. Not only Plato yearned for that relief, but Aristotle too, and many more." And here he bent his brow down, and he fell to silence, looking troubled and unsure. Meanwhile, the mountain. We saw all too well the way its foot was a sheer cliff so steep the nimblest legs could not have been of use. From Lerici to Turbia, you'd keep your feet more easily where, broken loose, the rock lies wildly strewn, but still presents a staircase easier than this. "Who knows which side to scale the slope on makes more sense," my master said, his step stayed, "so that those who have no wings may climb." And while his face was held down and he pondered the best way, I gazed up round the rock. And in one place, there on the left, appeared a whole array of souls who moved towards us, and yet so slowly they seemed not to approach. "See there, master," I said. "These ones might let us know the answer for which you seek everywhere within yourself, if you just lift your gaze." He did, and with an air of one set free from some weight on his mind, said, "Our best way's that way, for they come slowly. You must be, dear son, firm in your hope." Those people still were at the distance, after we had gone 1,000 paces that a slinger will attain with a good hand, when hard upon the high bank's solid wall they pressed against, they stood close packed and still, as men will pause to look when not yet from their doubt dispensed. "You that have ended well, souls that with cause may call themselves elect," declared my guide, "by that peace which I do believe awaits you all, tell me the slope that meets the stride with favor, for a waste of time frustrates the wise the most." As sheep depart the fold, by one and two and three and all the rest stand timid, and down to the ground they hold their eyes and muzzles, and the first is pressed from back there by the others if it slows, since they all do what it does, and do that simply and quietly, and not one knows quite why, if one stops, all stop, these were at that same point. Those who led the lucky flock came forward, modest, dignified. But when they saw that on my right I made a block for light, so that my dark shape walked again between me and the cliff, they stopped in shock. And back a pace they drew. So all who came behind, not knowing why they should have done what everyone in front did the same. Before you ask, let me tell everyone, this is a human body that you see, by which the sunlight on the ground is split. Don't marvel, but believe that he can't be without the aid of heaven's power to pit himself against the wall he comes to climb. Thus Virgil, and a spokesman for that group of worthies, said, "For just a little time turn back, and then go on before our troop." The hand, reversed, at this point made a sign. "Whoever you might be, turn as you go your face, and think if ever you saw mine out there." I turned to him. I tried to know. I looked. He was fine-featured and fair-haired, a noble presence, but a blow had cut one of his eyebrows through. When I had spared no humble words to tactfully rebut any suggestion I had known him, "Look," he said, and bared high on his breast a gaping wound. "Behold my open book. Yes, I am Manfred, torn up from my rest and thrown out of the church's lands, grandson to Empress Constance. Thus I beg of you, visit my lovely daughter when you've done your time here and go back. Mother of two kingdoms, of Sicily and Aragon, if she has heard another tale, she ought to hear the truth. When life could not go on, my body cleft by two strokes, I then thought to yield myself to him who freely gives his pardon. Yes, my sins were horrible. But the healing goodness that forever lives has arms so wide they take in all who will turn to it. If Cosenza's bishop, sent by Clement to hunt me, had rightly read that page of God that says, 'He whose intent is to approach me shall be housed and fed and not cast out,' then still my body's bones would now at Benevento's bridgehead lie under the shelter of those heavy stones stacked in a cairn. They would be warm and dry. But now the wind is at them, and the rain soaks them beyond the kingdom by the stream that marks the border. Bones brought in disdain, with tapers quenched. But though the pastors deem a man heretical, he can't be lost to that point where eternal love can't save his soul, if hope keeps love free from the frost and evergreen. It's true that if the grave opens for one denied the sacraments by Holy Church, he must stand on the sill, no matter how intensely he repents. For 30 times the time he set his will presumptuously high, if holy prayers don't shrink his sentence. So now, if you can, bring gladness to me in my present cares, by telling the good Constance of the man whose soul you saw here, sadly made to wait. For prayer from elsewhere can unlatch the gate."